You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 102.7 FM.
The housing crisis most often is discussed in the context of the market and the solution in terms of home ownership. In Canada, the starting point rarely is the human right to adequate housing. But for Maloon Kothari, the starting point is precisely to examine adequate housing as a human right. In September 2000, Maloon Kothari was appointed by the United Nations Commission on Human Rights to report annually on the housing situation worldwide. His mandate was to evaluate the realization of the rights related to adequate housing and to identify practical solutions and good practices towards this end. Maloon Kothari spoke in Vancouver on July 9th about his work, and I had the opportunity to interview him just before his return to India. I began by asking Maloon to sketch the history of treating housing as a human right. It's an approach not very familiar to most people in Canada.
Well, it originates all the way back in 1948 when the Universal Declaration was drafted. There was a recognition by the countries at that time that everyone has a right to an adequate standard of living, which includes food, clothing, and housing. And subsequent to that, over the next 60 years, there has been a sort of detailed development of what the contents of that right are by different United Nations bodies, and all of the treaties that international human rights treaties that recognize the right to housing, including the treaties on women's rights, children's rights, treaties against racial discrimination, the general covenant on economic, social, and cultural rights. All of these have been ratified by Canada, so Canada is in a way bound to domesticate that obligation and recognize the right to housing within Canada, although this has not happened yet. They are regularly reporting to various UN bodies on how they are complying with this commitment. And of course, there's been a great deal of civil society work done in Canada at the national level, in different provinces and around the world on the right to housing. And the right to housing is being used as a basis for a lot of work on advocacy, a lot of work in court, a lot of work in the media, and it's increasingly, the growing in acceptance, both as a disabled right in constitutions around the world, most recently in Kenya and Nepal, before that in South Africa, and in jurisprudence around the world. So actually Canada is far behind in terms of, keeping up with international development in this area.
When we look at homelessness in the world and the causes of it, could you give us an idea of where the cause is greatest of homelessness, and also the kind of numbers of people in the world who have absolutely inadequate housing?
Well, the numbers are quite striking. There's about 100 million who are homeless. About 20 to 40 million of those are in urban areas around the world, both in all parts of the world, and about 1.6 billion people are what we would consider inadequately housed. So we're talking about a very major crisis. The reasons for this are many. Of course, large part of the reason I would attribute to the fact that most governments have taken a sort of market approach to housing. So rather than treating housing as a social need or a basic human right, housing has been treated as a commodity that you sort of buy and sell, and that's very, very evident here in Vancouver. So a lot of people who cannot afford to play in the market obviously then fall out of the system. Many become homeless. But there are a range of, other reasons as well, the kinds of displacements that have taken place internally, the kind of poverty that we see, which forces people to leave their homes, particularly in rural areas, and come to the cities. And then they very often find a very unwelcoming city and, are homeless on the streets. So these are some of the reasons why we continue to have this major crisis.
I'm not alone. I think when you talked about the reasons for forced evictions, my mind immediately turned to wars, but you explained that that was not the major cause of forced evictions.
Of course, armed conflict, ethnic conflict, disasters of all types are causes of significant displacement. But if we look at numbers around the world, actually more people are displaced because of development-based evictions, evictions that happen because of large-scale development projects in rural areas, large-scale infrastructure projects, mega sporting events in cities, and a lot of land grabbing that's going on around the world, mineral extraction and so on. So that's leading to huge dislocations. And so if you put those numbers together, that's significantly higher number than the number of people who get displaced because of wars and other causes.
I had read a statistic that in the United States there are 22 empty homes for every homeless person. This is a kind of phenomenal statistic. I wonder if that disproportion exists elsewhere in the world as well.
Yes, this is a major crisis as a result of the free speculation that is there in land and property and houses. The problem of vacant houses is very severe in countries like Spain and Europe. People have just bought up apartments and houses and keep them locked. So they're purely either sort of vacation homes that are used for a few weeks a year or are kept as a form of speculation. And since there has been no control on the mortgage market in many countries and people are allowed to buy 4 or 5 houses, this is what happens. So you have actually an artificial housing shortage being created, and countries saying that, well, we don't have enough units to go around, or the demand, we cannot meet the demand, is sort of a ridiculous position, because actually the houses are there, but they're not in the hands of the people who need them.
You did a report specifically on Canada. You'd done 13 reports for the United Nations Human Rights Committee and on housing. I'm wondering, what were your main findings in terms of the Canadian situation?
Well, for Canada, this was a mission I did in 2007, and the report came out in 2009. The main finding was that there's a and this is something earlier UN bodies had said, that the national emergency in Canada, particularly in terms of housing and homelessness, particularly in the context of the fact that Canada is such a wealthy country, and that not much was being done to address this crisis. In fact, the situation was getting worse, and has continued to worsen since I was here in 2007. And so the main recommendation was that there are several gaps in Canada. One is the lack of legal recognition of the right to housing. So the right to adequate housing approach is very much missing in housing planning policies, other laws that govern land use, and so on. And the other recommendation was that because of the federal structure of the country as well, that there's a need for all levels of government to work together, and for there to be a national strategy on a national housing strategy and a national homelessness strategy. So those were some of the recommendations. And also, I focused on the very disturbing housing situation for the Aboriginal people, both on and off reserve. And the recommendation was that urgent steps need to be taken to improve that and to make it possible for Aboriginal people to have adequate housing and access to services, and to also deal with the question of large-scale poverty. These were some of the recommendations in the report.
Your talk on housing on Monday had a subtitle, which was From Practice to Policy to Practice. Could you explain what you mean by that and what the significance is for us in Canada, specifically with regards to that message?
Yeah, well, the main meaning of that is that essentially the way in which the right has been articulated by different UN bodies, the concepts, the ideas, for that have actually come from civil society movements, which articulated what was being done on the ground. So, there were groups in working around the world, including Canada and India, Brazil, Philippines, who were able to spell out essentially what the right to adequate housing means directly from the experience of people at the grassroots level. And then this understanding or this conception of housing was then adopted by the UN. So essentially it went from practice to policy. And then subsequently, of course, what has come out of the UN from different UN committees, from the work of the special rapporteurs, is now being used around the world to guide or to influence the types of policies and laws that have to reflect the right to housing. I mean, it's not being done as much as we would like to see, but so that, what started as practice on the ground became policy, is again becoming practice, and we hope increasingly so, although there's not much evidence of that in Canada as yet.
One comment you made to the audience in closing comments on Monday night was there need to be more Canadians in the streets.
Yes, well, what I essentially meant was that I think there needs to be, given the scale of the problem and the thousands and thousands of people involved, whether they're thousands of people affected, whether they're homeless or they are living in severely inadequate conditions, I just felt that there needs to be more of a sense of outrage amongst all Canadians that we should not permit these kinds of conditions, and there needs to be more advocacy work done to express that. And I think I also think that people who have got, whether it's politicians or bureaucrats, who have got Canada to this stage where there is such a crisis, also need to be held accountable for the high levels of incredibly unsustainable levels of speculation, for the lack of attention to issues such as homelessness and people living in inadequate housing. I think that's what I meant, that there needs to be more of a uproar, in a sense, about the conditions, and there has to be, it has to cut across different sectors of society. So people who are adequately housed and who are, in their million-dollar homes in Vancouver also need to speak out and be, at least be conscious of what is happening in the rest of the city.
That was Maloon Kotari. I spoke with him just earlier this week before he was returning to India. Mr. Kotari is a leading voice at national, regional, and international forums on human rights, especially economic, cultural, and social rights. And he was appointed in September 2000 by the United Nations Human Rights Council as the Special Rapporteur on People's Rights to Adequate Housing.